everyone. This is Anahata, channel for the Anahata Codes at anahatacodes.com, and your host today for this All-In Talk Radio segment. Before I announce our guest today, I'd like to, as usual, invite you all to call in with any questions which you may have. And we're going to take those questions right about the 15-minute marker. The number you'll need to dial in for that when I open the lines is 347-989-0384. And then you'll just need to press 1 to notify me that you have a question or a comment. Now, on to our program today. In this episode, we are so blessed to have with us Abby Stevens. And she graced the All In Radio Network with her musical talent for us during our Christmas special last year in 2015. And we have brought her back for an exclusive interview so that she can share her remarkable story of faith and miracles with you all. Abby Stevens was raised in Cokeville, Wyoming, where she attended high school and was always a physically active young woman and loved to sing and dance. She then attended BYU, where she planned to receive her BFA degree in musical dance theater. But at the age of 23, her plans changed dramatically. One week before her wedding, she was in a car accident that left her paralyzed from the neck down. Doctors said she would never walk again, but with unwavering faith, determination, and a positive attitude, she was able to walk just 3 months later. And this was not the first nor the last difficult challenge in Abby's life. She has been sharing her story for 19 years now as an inspirational speaker, singer, humorist, and inspiring others to get up and dance again and find a way to laugh through life's toughest moments. She is currently writing a book about her life, and her first Christmas album was released last fall, which is literally a lifelong dream come true. Abby and her husband, Cole, live in Kaysville, Utah, and they have 4 amazing children, including twins, but that's another story, and we'll maybe get there. So get to know Abby and her story at www.abbystevens.net, and I, for one, can't wait to get to know Abby a little bit more during this segment. So join me, guys, in welcoming Abby to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome
to be here.
Yes. And you know what? The sound effect malfunctioned, and I think you deserve this. So we are going to. There we go.
All right.
We're going to do it anyway. There you go. Awesome. Okay.
Thank you.
It's so, so great to have you on the show. And I do recall your beautiful story and your beautiful voice and your beautiful spirit from the Christmas special in 2015 when I had first joined the program. And so it's great to hear you again. And really, it's quite a remarkable story. And, you know, you were paralyzed and you bounced back from your severe spinal cord injury. Can you tell the listeners about that?
Sure, yeah. Well, it will actually be 20 years ago this summer, on June 21st of 1996, as my then fiance and I, now we're married, but Cole and I, it's hard for me to bounce between fiance, husband, Cole. So when I say Cole, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Cole and I were a week away from our wedding, but on that day we were traveling to Cokeville, Wyoming, where I grew up, and to one of my cousins' weddings, and so that's where it kind of started. It's only just over 2 hours drive from where we live here in Utah, and we were just on our way, and we usually make a little stop kind of halfway in between in a town called Evanston, Wyoming. But for that, some reason that day, well, the reason was I was asleep. I was asleep in the car and he didn't want to wake me. And so we continued on our journey to Cokeville. And we, up until this point, we had always been, I'd had, I guess what you'd call maybe a little premonition or what some people would call, you know, whatever, just a feeling that something was going to happen to me before I got married. And that's kind of broad information, and what do you do with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I told him about that, and just, we had talked a number of times about just, we needed to be careful and never, you know, just don't take any risks and obey all the laws and just, you know, be careful. And so we always wore our seat belts and made sure we did. And for whatever reason, that day, we did not put our seat belts on. And so with that and the fact that I was asleep in the car and I had reclined my seat all the way back, which, again, is another no-no. And unless you're sitting around bored and want to read your car manual, it does say in there not to do that. But it's also common sense. But anyway, we were that's where we were. And we had just left Evanston. We were about 15 to 20 miles out. And he just glanced down at me for a moment. And it's just one of those fluke things that happens. And as he looked down, he went off the road a little bit and overcorrected into the other lane. And that noise of going off the road and everything woke me up. And I remember just being very startled and confused. I don't know about you, but I'm a very deep sleeper and get a little confused when I'm awakened abruptly. But as I was awakened and saw that we were in the other lane, I just for a moment thought we were headed for another car. And I remember just grabbing his arm and yelling, "Watch out." And it scared him again. He overcorrected off the side of the road, and we rolled our car one time, and it landed on the wheels. But because of the fact that I was reclined in my seat and I was not wearing my seatbelt, I had all this room to move around. And so I don't remember the actual roll itself, but as the car came to a standstill, and it was June, and it was a warm summer day, and it was dry, and there was just lots of dry clay, red clay dirt off the side of the road there. It's very much in the middle of nowhere, and it wasn't a very heavily traveled road, not very much traffic, and in fact, not any cars were passing us at the time. We were kind of by ourselves there, and so I just remember as I was sort of waking up, feeling all this red or this dust and dirt in my eyes and not being able to breathe very well. And I could hear Cole calling my name, and he was still in the seat where he, you know, in the driver's seat, he was driving. And I was no longer in my seat where I was, but as I was able to kind of get my bearings and see what had happened, I looked down and I could see my feet in the seat where I used to be sitting. And it's bucket seats, and I was kind of laid between those seats and with my head in the back seat behind the driver's side. And and he, when he realized where I was, also got out and came around to the back door, and he held on to my head and knew enough not to move me. And I just remember saying to him, "Tell me this is a dream." I was very confused. And he said, "No, this is real." And I said, "Then pray." And as he began to pray for help, a car came upon the scene that at that point in, you know, way back in 1996, we didn't have a cell phone, and they were few and far between.
Yep, I remember.
This car came along, and they happened to have one of the old bricks, the old cell phones. They called for help. And of course, being that far from, we were about 15 to 20 miles from the nearest town either direction. And so it was, you know, a little bit, about 20 to 30 minutes before help arrived. And, you know, lots of things happened there. But they called Lifelight from the University of Utah Hospital and stopped what traffic there was on the road and allowed the helicopter to land there. And they flew me to the University of Utah Hospital, where they told my family that that I had broken my neck at the level of C3, C4, which is very high, controlled everything from the neck down. I was able to breathe on my own till I got there, and at that point they decided I was struggling enough that they went ahead and intubated and put me on the ventilator and told my family I was, the injury was bad enough that I was a complete quadriplegic, meaning it was enough damage that it would not heal,
I
would be paralyzed from the neck down, would never breathe on my own, would never walk again, run, dance, none of the things that I loved to do. All of that was done and gone, and they actually said, too, that I would probably die in a few short years just due to complications of the body shutting down. And so, yes, it was very grim, very, very sad and depressing. And yet, when I got out of the emergency room and was in critical care and was alert enough to understand what was going on, and they told me, I just never accepted that. I just knew I'd be okay, and I felt that actually from being even at the scene of the accident, just a very calming, peaceful feeling that I would be okay.
Wow.
And my faith has been such in my life to just not question that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I'd be okay. I didn't know what that meant, but I'm also a very optimistic person, and so I just knew I'd walk again. I just didn't allow their prognosis to sink in and allow me to get down and depressed, and, you know, I just knew I'd be okay. And when I was able to, they did a first surgery, infused my neck together, and put the tubes, they took them out of my mouth and then just did the tracheotomy, so I had at least my mouth to move and could mouth words. And I just made sure I told them that I would walk, and I let everybody know that I knew I would walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not to say that it wasn't hard and that I wasn't very, very sad and hurt and discouraged and, you know, those feelings. People ask me how I can be so positive all the time. Well, we usually put our best foot forward in public and in front of people, but, you know, there in a hospital for 3 months was very up and down. And even though all of the pictures I have of me there, I have a smile on my face, but, you know, there were definitely the moments where I cried a lot. And But I had faith, and I prayed a lot, and I knew everything would be okay. So that's, you know, that's where we were. And
oh my gosh,
it was scary. So now here, let's see. So 3 months worth of stories goes by, but I did walk out of the hospital 3 months later.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
I took my first steps, and of course, in the meantime, had to learn to breathe on my own and had to learn to just even sit up and balance and gain my feeling back, which none of that is under any of our control with paralysis. There is, you know, we don't get to say what comes back and when. And every spinal cord injury is different. You can have the very same level of a break, but the spinal cord is so very sensitive and so... you know, it just can be just millimeters of difference in damage can do just different things. And so, but I knew that because of the damage they said was there, and they showed us the x-rays, and there was no possible way for the spinal cord to function through. It was pretty much just squished to nothing. And so, you know, for me to be able to do how things happened, I know it was a miracle. I believe that with all my heart, and there is no other way to explain it, even though, you know, there are those that will explain away everything scientifically or however they'd like, just to avoid the fact that that God is real and that he's a God of miracles and that those things happen and can happen in our lives when we have faith. So.
And what did the doctors say? Because I'm sure they were confused, delighted, and you
all
kind
of above,
along. And
yes.
That's incredible.
And, you know, at first, one of my surgeons was very he gave no hope, just this is it. She will not do anything. And then another one said, this is the way she is. She's quadriplegic, but there's always room for a miracle. And so, you know, that's what gave us that, just that little window of hope. And and really,
God bless him.
Yeah. And isn't that what we need? You can have all the faith in the world, but if someone takes away your hope, there's not much left. And I really believe that, that little ounce of hope, and even though I knew I'd be okay, I really didn't need his, I didn't need that to still believe that I'd be okay, but it did give that, just that little glimpse of hope that, okay, then we're going to shoot for the miracle, because if there's no, if there everything else is out of our control, then we're going to shoot for the miracle. And so when that did happen, yes, the doctors were, didn't have a whole lot to say other than, okay, well, you know, and of course they're not going to admit they're wrong or anything like that. And well, and you know, the interaction with the actual surgeons, I didn't have much interaction with them after surgery, but just the other doctors that continued my care. I had a wonderful, wonderful doctor. They're called physiatrists that care for spinal cord injured patients. And he was wonderful and, you know, never made me feel that things were hopeless. He was very, you know, uplifting and encouraging and just, you know, gave us enough to go on. Of course, they can't ever say what will come back, because if it doesn't, then of course they're in trouble. So they can't ever say. But they, what they said was, you know, after I started getting feeling back, and they're like, oh, well, that shouldn't be happening. And then, you know, and then after, and the way I did things was very non-textbook, which if you ask my mother is the way I've always done things. I do, I don't like to do things the way I'm told. But, you know, most spinal cord injuries, people might get a little bit starting from the top down. They might get a little bit of their arms or down, you know, their chest and into their stomach. And it'll kind of start from the top down. Well, my motion, my movement started at my big toe from the very bottom and worked its way up. Yes, so very interesting. And so, you know, they absolutely could not explain that. Yeah, they could not explain that whatsoever, because, you know, even in normal range terms of spinal cord injury, that just plain old doesn't happen. And it worked my way up, worked its way up my left side. And most people will get large muscles before they get fine motor skills. No, no, no. I got my fingers moving before I could move my biceps. And I got, you know, just, I'm just very backwards.
That's
what I
and
like to
knew.
Do. I like to kind of show, you know, that I can do this. So, and so, you know, they couldn't explain what I was doing. And the one doctor's words were hit it right on the head, is that it's the miracle. And so that's, you know, that's how it went, and things progressed and I had to learn to breathe on my own and get the ventilator out and all the different tubes they had helping me do this and that. And eventually just was able to work really hard, of course, even when we believe that miracles can happen. If it, I had said, yes, I believe I can be healed. I can believe I can walk again, but if I'm just going to lay here and wait for that to happen, that's not going to work. Right? We have to work. I like the saying that we need to pray as though everything depends upon the Lord, and then work as though everything depends upon us. And and he will meet us halfway, right? So I knew and I believed, but I had to work. And I had to get up. And I'll tell you, there were days that I did not want to get out of bed. I did not want to wake up. I've never been a morning person. in fact, I saw the cutest meme the other day, and my sister shared it with me as well after I'd seen it. But we all kind of feel the same about mornings. And it says the early bird can have the worm because worms are gross and mornings are stupid. So,
oh my gosh.
We like to laugh about stuff. Anyway, but yeah, there were definite struggles, definite days that I, you know, it was hard. It was so, so hard just to wake up, just to get up, just to move, just to try just a little harder every day to get things working and moving. But you know, we all have those ups and downs in our days, no matter how positive our attitude is, right?
We do. Right. Oh, my goodness. What an incredible, incredible story of faith and hope and perseverance and strength. And it is no, you know, mystery to me why this probably happened, and that is so that you can give others the same message. And you are doing that, and you are you have a real way with your descriptions, and I felt like I was there as you were describing everything. And in fact, it was kind of scary listening to you, because I've been in that situation, it feels like, so many times, where it's just one little move and then all of a sudden you're hearing the, you know, sound on the side of the road, you move over again, and I can easily see how something like this could happen to me. And I actually got in a car accident right around the same time this happened to you, and disrupted my C3, C4 as well. So there's so many similarities, very high, obviously, on the neck above, you know, way above, right, almost where the skull is. And so I do understand where that is. And I still have a little clicking noise, but nothing like what you experienced. And you are just such a breath of fresh air and hope. And I can see why you are a motivational speaker. So can you tell us about this book that's in the works, because I am very, very excited to purchase it, read it, embrace it, because it's just oozing with hope. And, you know, this is something that people lack on a day to day. And you just went through so much. And, you know, you could have healed yourself and through the grace of God walked again and never opened your mouth about it. And so you've actually chosen to kind of relive this over and over again for the benefit of others. And that is also such an extraordinary thing, such a selfless thing to do. And so, yeah, tell us about the book. What is it called? When is it coming out?
Well, it's just very in the beginning of things. And so I'm working on that right now. I'm hoping to have that out shooting for the end of the summer, so August, September, somewhere in there.
Awesome.
And people can, you know, kind of watch and wait for that. If they follow me on Facebook, I'll make announcements about that. They can go to my website. I am on, you know, on Instagram and a few other places. If they would like to follow me, we can, you know, post some of those social media sites. They are able to follow and like my page, and then they will get updates about the book. And I will be, my hope too is to get another CD out that goes along with the book. And so songs that have helped me through, and some of the songs that I sing when I speak, and those kinds of things that share the message of hope and faith and determination and overcoming the challenges in our life, and especially just, you know, not just a positive attitude, but I'm a firm believer that laughter is the best medicine. And I do a lot of humor and funny things when I speak, a lot of entertainment value, and I just love to share that and make people laugh and learn that no matter how hard life is, we can laugh our way through it and find joy.
Oh, well, praise God for that doctor who said it would take a miracle, and, you know, praise God for then giving you that miracle. And I want to take this opportunity to just invite anyone who's listening right now to call in. If you have any questions for Abby, give us a call. We want to hear from you. The call-in number is 347-989-0384, and then just press 1 and we will pick up. And in the meantime, I hope it's okay, Abby. I think we should also list your phone number that you have on your website so that people can contact you and speak, contact you if they'd like you to speak at their event, because I find, you know, in person and being that inspiration is such a valuable gift for people, and I know that you do that. So why don't you go ahead and give us your phone number as well?
Okay, yeah, and that is listed on my website. It's 801-589-3771, and that is on the contact me portion of my website, as well as my email, where they can just shoot me an email or call me. Yes, I do multiple speaking engagements and a range of all things from religious to business to, you know, corporate to all of those things.
Wonderful.
So I have a message that's appropriate for all of those things and absolutely love to share it. So feel free to contact me. Yes.
Awesome. Very, very good. And I was just curious, and I know I can read about this probably in the book, but what happened with the wedding? This was before your wedding, right? And so then...
Right. Yes. And so that was obviously postponed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting. They asked me when I was feeling better enough, they said, okay, so when should we, move the wedding to? Now, this was June. And so I thought, oh, I'll be better in a couple months. So I said August. And everybody just okay, yeah. Well, I didn't quite know how serious it was. So, but it did, I walked out of the hospital in September, and we got married the following May. So it was a total of 11 months and a day after the accident. So,
oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Wow.
And yes, and then on top of that, the four kids who... Mm-hmm. All our miracles, and especially twins,
yeah.
Being a mom with one good arm. I didn't describe that very well, that I do still have some physical limitations. My right side did not come back as well, and so I don't walk very, very well. I do okay. I walk all the time, but I struggle with my balance, and my right arm isn't functional. It has a little bit of movement, but not much. And so that was very ironic to have two babies with one arm. And so that's a whole other story, but yeah, that'll be in the book.
Yes, I can't wait. This just keeps getting more and more interesting to me. What a fantastic journey you've been on, and hard to believe that it's been over 20 years now. And
yes.
But great that you have four beautiful kids. I have four kids as well. And so, and then the twins, did you say they are missing arms, or it was just your arm that was?
No, just me.
Okay,
I just meant that as a mom with one arm and having
absolutely.
Two babies was,
yeah,
you
twins.
Know, very ironic, very
yeah.
One of those funny things that people were like, what, you know, what is she going to do? And especially where my baby at the time, I had a four-year-old and my baby turned two, and 4 days later I had two more babies. So... all kinds of fun, yeah.
Wow, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. And then it's so also a miracle to me that you sing, because wouldn't your vocal, I mean, I can't even tell any, abnormality or weakness in your voice, but surely your singing voice, that would be one of the most difficult things, I would think, to overcome in terms of a spinal, injury like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that is something I shared a little bit back on the Christmas special, but the fact they actually damaged my vocal cords when they intubated, and that doesn't normally happen, but for some reason, they said it was either when they intubated or when they did my surgery and had to move everything out of the way to fuse my neck together. Somehow they paralyzed one of my vocal cords a little bit. And so for a long time my voice was very weak, and those that knew me before my voice is a little different, even speaking. Still, my tone is different and is affected, but it's definitely a lot stronger than it was. And it, once I figured out that they did a scope and found that paralysis in my vocal cords, of course, that was very, very discouraging again, because even though I knew my body wouldn't be quite the same, I knew I'd be able to sing again. But then here I was, and I wasn't able to sing very, very well at all. And so that, too, has taken years and faith and work to get it back to a place where I feel comfortable in sharing it. And I feel that it is a gift that I need to share, and it always has been. And so I knew I had to get that back. And so that story is on my website to just a little bit of it when I shared my Christmas album, which is still there if anybody's interested. I know it's not Christmas, but
I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, it's great.
So there are some little snippets of the songs on there, and if people are interested, yeah, they can go ahead and order there. And maybe for listeners, I will go and do a little code for a discount. It's normally $14.99, but if they want to order with the code All in Talk, I'll put that on there today, and they can get $5 off. So $10. And includes shipping and handling. So how's that?
Wow. Okay. And guys, this has my favorite things, the Christmas song, sleigh ride, heirlooms, grown-up Christmas list, all of the favorites that we enjoy and love. And that's just an awesome way to celebrate is just to hear from someone who has overcome so much. And I cannot believe we are actually drawing to the end of the interview already. Could you share with us maybe how all of this has changed you, not in terms of, you know, sharing your story and inspiring others, but how has this changed your day-to-day life and, you know, think about before and then after? And what has really changed the most, would you say?
Well, definitely just with the physical limitations that I do have, that is a struggle. And because I was a dancer and very physically active in all kinds of things, I did so many things, and I was a dancer and a singer, and that's what I always wanted to do, is perform. And so those things have been obviously dramatically affected. And so I can't dance. I don't like to use the word can't, but I physically cannot dance like I used to. I can still dance better than my husband, but that's because he has no rhythm. So, but you know, and so that's really what has changed the most, is my ability to physically do the things that I loved to do. But, you know, every day I'm able to find new ways of doing things. And that's the hope that I try to share with others, is when you find yourself, you know, struggling with not able to do what you used to do, there are new ways and new ways to find joy in those, in doing those things. And so that is the biggest struggle for me. And there are days that honestly, I just want to maybe throw the can across the room because I can't open it by myself, or, you know, and so I'm human and have those feelings too. And just maybe the sense of independence that I used to have, because I have a little, you know, I'm a little intimidated to go out by myself in public for very long. I'm afraid I might fall and need some help, you know, and different things. And so that's been, I would say, the biggest struggle is just the physical limitations. But then also on the other end of that is my ability mentally and spiritually has been strengthened. That through the physical limitations, I am stronger as my soul, my spirit, those things have been strengthened, and that I can share that. And so, you know, when sometimes we think we have lost something, and yet when we look, we can see that it has been replaced with something much better.
Yep. I love that. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for sharing your beauty and your strength of spirit and your strength of faith with us. And I am also in gratitude for you offering the code. Could you mention the code one more time?
Yes, I will have it be All in Talk, like the All in Talk Radio, OLLIN Talk, and I will go make that change now for any of those that want to order. And if you order before I get it done, just be patient with me and I'll get that changed on my website. And so
Wonderful. All
in Talk, and that'll make the price $10, and that includes shipping. So
wonderful. And just because I'm a little slow, could you reiterate the quote that you loved?
Pray as if everything depends on the Lord, then work as if everything depends on you.
Ah, I absolutely adore that. And it is so, so true. So thank you so much for, and who said that? Is that a quote from you?
You know, it's not. I know I've read it. In fact, I'm sure I've heard it from probably one of our church leaders. I'm a
okay.
member of the LDS church. And so I think it was Gordon B. Hinckley, actually, is who I think said that. So.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look that up because I absolutely think there's so much truth and wisdom and strength in that phrase. And
yes.
It's a good way to be and a good way to think things through. So do you have any final words for our listeners today? Any words of wisdom?
Gosh, I have all kinds of words of wisdom.
I'm
you
sure.
don't have time. No, I'm just kidding. If anything else, my hope for sharing my message is that it gives people hope, that there is, things can get better, that when you feel
mm-hmm.
at your lowest low and you feel like life just really, really stinks, I have been there, and this is actually just one, as you mentioned in my introduction, I've had a few other experiences that I don't have time to share today, and they will be in the book. But I understand on many levels what it's like to struggle and to be hurt and to be
mm-hmm.
down and feel like it just, life just is so hard. But if you
mm-hmm.
can just look around and find even just one thing to be grateful for, just one thing, just one thing helps you keep going. Put one foot, literally, when I was learning to walk, one foot in front of the other. And so whether literally or figuratively, getting up and putting one foot in front of the other, that is what life is all about.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much again, Abby. I have really enjoyed our time together listening to you. I'm definitely going to go get that album when we hang up.
Okay.
Just what a blessing you are to everyone who knows you. So thank you again so much for sharing with us today your story, your inspiration, your strength, and your message of hope.
You're so welcome. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank
and
you.
We are too. Thank you. So guys, that is it. Once again, we are at the end of a beautiful time with such light-filled beings and today was a good day. I needed your message, Abby, and it came to me in perfect timing, and I'm sure it's going to be the same way for many of the listeners here. And guys, March is already coming to an end. Today is the last day, but April's lineup is very, very interesting, so I'm really excited about April. As always, I invite you to tune in on Tuesday evenings for those guided meditations with Malia Calford. They are wonderful. And of course, every Thursday, join me, Anahata, on the All In Talk Radio. And so for April, we have kind of a faith theme going on, it seems. I'm going to be interviewing on the 7th, Franny Little, and we're going to be talking about unwavering faith. And then the 14th and 21st, we're not quite sure what the topics are going to be, but the speakers are going to be Saskia Stallings and Gentry Potter. So Saskia is going to be on the 14th and the 21st is going to be Gentry. And I'm going to wrap up April with Being Mom While Being Self while I interview Lydia Taggart. So for a complete show schedule, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/allinradio. Because I'm not the only host. There are lots of other segments and topics you're not going to want to miss out on. So go over there, check us out. Head over to Facebook, like us there as well. We're just facebook.com/groups/allinradio. We love, love, love our listeners. We do lots of giveaways. So join us there. Join the community of All In Talk Radio that way as well. We also invite you to check out My Perfection Healing for upcoming classes and information about this cutting-edge technique. So just go to www.myperfectionhealing.org. And we have a very special announcement. There is a new ebook called Teen Speak. And this is written by our producer, Julie Hatch. So it's a guide for parents of teens to improve communication and connection with their teenagers. Who doesn't need that? So head over to www.allinconnections.com, and when you sign up to receive the emails, you'll have access to that. We also want to invite you, lastly, to the Facebook group Wholehearted Parenting, and that is also hosted by Julie Hatch, and it's for parents of teens. You're going to want to check it out, guys. It's got a wealth of information, inspiration, and it's called Wholehearted Parenting. So, again, just facebook.com/groups/wholeheartedparenting.com. Well, that is the end of our show, folks. Thank you so much for joining the All-In Radio program today. I am Anahata, and until next time, remember, you are here, you are loved.